everyone. Welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio here on the Word of Mom Media Network. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here week after week, show after show, breaking those myths that mompreneurs and businesswomen are just dabbling in between bake sales and getting our nails done. We're not. We are smart, we are savvy, and we are sharing the wisdom of women in business and in life, and I am very excited to be bringing today's guest to the show. Michelle Seiler Tucker is the founder and CEO of Seiler Tucker Incorporated. As a 20-year veteran in mergers and acquisitions, Michelle and her firm has sold over 1,000 companies in almost every vertical. She owns and operates several successful companies and holds numerous professional designations and certifications. Michelle is also the best-selling author of the book Sell Your Business for More Than It's Worth, and her latest book, Exit Rich, is now available for purchase. In addition to being featured in Inc., Forbes, Entrepreneur, and USA Magazine, Michelle makes regular radio and TV appearances on Fox Business News and CNBC. She has spoken alongside many prominent speakers, Kathy Ireland, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Donald Caron, Stedman Graham, Randy Zuckerberg, Steve Wozniak, and more. Michelle also shares her wealth of experience as a prospective MA advisor by conducting multiple trainings, mentoring, and partnering programs. Over these years, these programs have helped many individuals become successful M&A advisors and business brokers. Recognized as the leading authority on buying, selling, fixing, and growing businesses, Michelle sees opportunities where many are discouraged or have given up. Her passion is to save businesses that might otherwise close. By identifying and correcting the top mistakes business owners make, Michelle will fine-tune a business into a well-oiled machine. Sometimes investing her own money to help owners build their businesses, Michelle's primary objective is to sell for huge profits. So with all of that being said, Michelle, welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Thank you. Thanks, Dori. Thanks so much for having me.
It is absolutely my pleasure. I am thrilled to be sharing you. And I want to ask, take us on your journey and share with us how you originally got into M&A.
So I've always been interested. I've always had three big passions. Number one is people. I've always been passionate about people. I've always wanted to work with people, connect with people. I'm truly a people person. I've always been a writer. I've been writing since I was a child. And I've always been interested in entrepreneurship. I would walk up to strangers at 6 years old and ask them, well, are you in business? Do you own your own business? How did you start? So even as a child, I had that curiosity about business and about how entrepreneurs start their business. So I'm really like a kid in a candy store. I'm always so excited and passionate to find out how somebody grew a multi-million dollar company from their kitchen table or from their garage or, you know, from their car. So I've owned several different businesses along the way. I did go to work for corporate America. Xerox actually recruited me from their competitor. So I did have a job for a while, that J-O-B word. And Xerox recruited me. I was there for 6 months and my nickname had became the closer because every time somebody couldn't close a deal, they would say, well, call Michelle. Michelle can close it. You know, she's the closer. So within those 6 months, though, my supervisor came to me and said, Michelle, you really should interview for the regional vice president position at Xerox. So that was like a quantum leap because that would be going from high volume sales to vice president over a region over about 95 salespeople. And so she said, look, you'll never get it because you've only been here for 6 months. And Xerox's policy is you have to be here for 2 years before you're promoted and you're competing against, you know, other people that have been here for years and years and years. And I'm like, well, why would I interview for something? Because she said it's be a three-month process. I'm like, why would I give up 3 months of my time for something I'm never going to get? And she said, it's because of the experience, because of what you will learn along this journey. And I said, okay. So I did it. It was a grueling process. We had the interview with high-level executives from all over the United States from Xerox. We had to do Q&As, presentations, demonstrations, etc. I ended up getting it after I was told I would never get it. So I guess I truly am the closer. But, you know, I always say be careful what you wish for, because I didn't like it. You know, I went from sales, I went from solving problems, I went from creating solutions to corporate management, where when you're working for a Fortune 500 company, they're having meetings to have more meetings to have more meetings to have more meetings. And I really didn't like all the red tape. I like to make decisions and get things done. I'm a true entrepreneur. I want to get things done, you know, and I don't want to go through all the bureaucracy and all the red tape. So I ended up leaving Xerox and transitioning into franchise sales, franchise development, franchise consulting. So I've sold hundreds upon hundreds of franchises. And my clients, my buyers kept asking me, well, do you have an existing business? You know, we really don't want to buy a franchise because franchising is not for everybody. And that's when I decided, you know what? I really should transition into selling companies, not just working with franchisors. And that's when I decided to transition into selling businesses. First, I started selling small businesses like coffee shops, dry cleaners, flower shops, then transitioned very quickly into selling large companies, $10 million in purchase price and up. And then I learned that what Steve Forbes, who endorsed my book, Exit Rich, what Steve Forbes says is really true. 8 out of 10 businesses will not sell. That's 80%. Now, other experts say 90% of businesses won't sell. Steve Forbes says 80%. So since he endorsed Exit Rich, I'll go with Steve Forbes. So I thought, gosh, if I don't fix these businesses, grow these businesses, build them to sell, I'm probably going to starve to death. So that's really when I transitioned into really fixing businesses, growing businesses, putting them on what I call my build-to-sell plan. And I really specialize in, you know, buying businesses, flipping them, partnering with business owners, investing my money, my resources, my expertise. And so that's how I specialize in buying, selling, fixing, growing businesses. That's really my journey.
Can you walk us through how a business is evaluated?
I sure can. There's so many steps to evaluation. Evaluations are more of an art rather than a science. I've evaluated thousands upon thousands of companies. And it really comes down to two things. Number one is your EBITDA, your earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, amortization. If your EBITDA is under $1 million, your multiple is going to be much lower. If your EBITDA, earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, amortization, is over $1 million, your multiple is going to be higher. And you're going to have a lot more buyers. There are more buyers for businesses with an EBITDA over $1 million than there are buyers for EBITDA under $1 million, because there are more buyers for good businesses than there are good businesses to buy. So that's number one. Number two, we go through what I call in my book, Exit Rich, the six P's, the ST six P's, Tyler Tucker six P's. So I use six different valuation methods, but one of the biggest methods I use is the six P's. So of course, we look at industry standards. We pull industry standards. We pull business comps. We pull business solds. It's hard to get business solds on private companies. It's not like real estate. It doesn't have to be publicized. It doesn't. If it's a public company, it does. If it's a private company, it doesn't. So we pull industry standards. We pull business comps. So we do the asset approach. We do the market approach. We do the discounted cash flow approach, future earnings approach. Probably the most instrumental, the most valuable, because here's the deal. Value. Sellers have an idea of what they think their business is worth, and most overvalue their business. I have an idea of what businesses are worth, but at the end of the day, it's the buyer deciding what they're going to pay. Now, the seller agrees or doesn't agree, right? But value is what it means to that buyer. Value is what a buyer is willing to pay for synergies. So we take our clients through the 6P process, because that's what's so important. So meaning, the more synergies you have, the more a buyer will pay. Number one is people. If the business is dependent upon the owner, in many cases the business is not sellable, and it's certainly not sellable at maximum value. So you really have to build a business that can run without you. You have to focus your strengths, hire your weaknesses, and make sure you have the right people in the right position. And you should always ask the who question. Who opens the door? Who deals with clients? Who deals with marketing? Who deals with customer service? Who deals with legal? Who deals with accounting? Who deals with real estate law? Who deals with transportation, logistics, environmental? The list goes on and on. The key here is that you should never be next to the who. So get a pen and paper out and write down all the things that have to be done in your business on a daily basis and put somebody else's name next to it. Don't put yours. Because you're trying to grow a business that can run without you. Buyers want to buy a business, not a job. Many entrepreneurs have created a glorified job in which they go to work to every day versus a business that works for them. So I work with clients to try to create that business, not that job. And then if you're trying to sell a larger business, you also need to have a management team in place. The second P is product. So value depends upon all these six P's we're talking about. Product, you have to ask yourself, is your product, your industry, your service on the way up or on the way out? Is there still demand for your industry? Do you have an Amazon and you're at the top of your game? Or do you have a Blockbuster? A lot of industries are dying now that were once thriving because of COVID. And just the opposite. There are industries that were dying that are now thriving because of COVID. So you really have to look at your industry. If you're dying, if your industry is dying, that doesn't mean you just pack up and go home. That means you think creatively, that you align yourself with an expert. You ask the tough transformational questions. Three transformational questions I always tell my clients to ask. Number one, what business are you in? Amazon did this back in the 90s. They asked themselves, what business are we in? And they said, oh, we're booksellers. We're in a bookselling business. Number two, what do we do really, really well, better than anybody else? We do fulfillment better than anyone else. What business should we be in? And Amazon said, we should be in a fulfillment business, not just a bookselling business. Those three questions right there, which may sound simple, are extremely transformational. Those three questions transformed Amazon from the small bookseller into a multi-billion dollar worldwide conglomerate that they are today. You really got to look at your industry and find out what you're really doing well and pivot. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And then the third P is processes. So processes are kind of like exit. Most business owners never think of their exit strategy until a catastrophic event occurs. They don't think about selling until health issues or they're getting older or partner disputes or divorce or death. And that's the worst time to sell your business. You always want to sell your business when you're in your prime. Same thing with processes. You want to start your process from the beginning of starting your business or buying a business. And most owners don't think about processes until something bad happens. Like we have a manufacturing company we're selling, and they had a catastrophic event occur on the manufacturing floor. Somebody got really hurt. And the owner says, oh, we need a health and safety process for that. Well, you really needed that before somebody got hurt. So you really need to design your processes, number one, with the customer experience in mind. A lot of processes are designed to upset customers. How many times have you, tried to call a company and you have to push 10 different buttons on the phone before you can get a real person and get real help? Those processes are designed to alienate us, to upset us, etc. You need to design your processes with the customer experience in mind, because the businesses should be designed around the customer experience in mind and not your own agenda. So many companies design their process around their agenda, not the customers. And back in the 40s, when McDonald Brothers started McDonald's, they said, listen, we want to build a fast food restaurant, and this is our company experience. Everything is going to revolve around this customer's experience. Our customers are going to get great tasting food, hot, fast, 2 minutes or less. That was back in the 40s. They tweaked their processes along the way, but you can eat at a McDonald's anywhere in the world and have the exact same experience. Now, they never said you're going to get good quality food. They never said it's going to be organic. So you really have to look at, when you start a business or buy a business, what do you want your customer experience to be? And you design your processes to achieve that customer experience. Because if you don't create happy customers, your competitors will. They'll be happy to take your customers. Okay. And then your processes need to be productive. They need to be efficient. They also need to be well documented. One of the first things the buyer is going to look at when they go to your company to purchase it, but they're going to ask you for your policy and procedure manuals. They're going to ask you for your employee handbooks. They're going to ask you for your non-compete. They're going to ask to see your SOP checklist. So all that has to be in order. And then proprietary. So here's what I really want to focus on, because one of the number one value driver to get you a higher multiple, to go from a 5 multiple to maybe an 8, maybe a 10, is right here in proprietary. There are 6 pillars to proprietary. Proprietary is the highest multiple driver. Number one is branding. The more well-branded your business is, the more money I can sell your company for. As long as your brand is relevant in the mind of the consumers. Is anybody paying any money for Blockbuster? No. No. But they will for Toys R Us, because Toys R Us brand is still relevant in the mind of consumers. So build your brand, build your exit rich. And then second of all is trademarks. Buyers will pay for trademarks. One of the mistakes that business owners make is they'll go start a company. Let's say they start a company in Texas. They go to Texas, they get a state trademark, but they never check the federal database. They never check the federal database to make sure that name is available. And then you can be in business for 5-10 years and all of a sudden receive a cease and desist letter and you have to stop using that name. And you can hire attorneys and throw a bunch of money at it, but you're probably going to lose, unfortunately. And then you have to start all over and build your brand again. So for $1,500 to $2,000, you can get a trademark. So trademark your company name, trademark your logo, trademark your slogan, trademark your podcast, trademark anything that is unique to you. We're selling a company that sells products in the large grocery store chains. And they have trademarks. They have about 10 different trademarks. And some of these trademarks are exclusive to different retail chains. Extremely valuable. Buyers will pay more money for that. Patents. You got an invention. Number one question Shark Tank investors always ask inventors is, do you have a patent on that? Do you have a patent pending? Do you have a utility patent? So patents are very valuable. Contracts are extremely valuable. Manufacturing contracts, distribution contracts, vendor contracts, anything that has exclusivity, franchisor that has lots of franchisees. The most valuable contracts of all are your client contracts, because buyers want to know they're buying a business that has money coming in. Reoccurring revenues, subscription models are huge. Buyers will pay more money for a company that has reoccurring revenue and has a subscription model. Databases. Oh, here's caveat to contracts that you need to know. 99.9% of all sales are asset sales, not stock sales. Most business owners don't have the two-sentence transferability clause in their contract. So if the buyer is not willing to convert to a stock sale, your deal could fall apart. So you need to protect yourself from the beginning and make sure you have the two-sentence transferability clause. Databases. Your company could be losing money. But if you have all these assets I'm talking about right now, I can sell your business regardless. Facebook paid $19 billion for WhatsApp. WhatsApp was hemorrhaging, but WhatsApp had a synergy that Facebook wanted to purchase. They had 1 billion users. 1 billion. And Facebook knew that they could ROI and monetize those 1 billion users, so they paid $19 billion. The last thing in proprietary that will also get you a much higher multiple on your EBITDA is what I call IP real estate. Any type of celebrity endorsement. If you have a skincare line and Oprah Winfrey has endorsed your skincare line, that's huge. A competitor slash strategic will pay more money for your company. Because why? Because they want to get their products in front of Oprah. Any type of endorsements that you have of radio personalities. So radio endorsements are huge. Radio placement is huge, because a radio show can only do like one skincare line or one diet line. So those endorsements are huge. Anytime you have any permission, like from the NFL, that you can use, you know, their logos, or from the NBA, etc. These are all huge value drivers. And last but not least, any e-commerce businesses. E-commerce businesses meaning that they have the top three spots on Wayfair or Etsy or Amazon. These are all synergies that buyers will pay more money for. So when you ask about valuation, valuation is all about identifying the synergies that a business has, knowing what buyers are willing to pay more for those synergies, and creating a bidding war. If you only have one buyer and you don't have any other interested buyers, you're only going to get what that one buyer is going to offer. But if you have, you know, 25 buyers looking at you and you get 5 or 10 LOIs, or we create what I call a structured auction, then you're going to get a much higher price because there's scarcity and there's people bidding on you. So it creates competition. The fifth P is patrons. So patrons is your customer base. And most businesses follow the 80-20 rule, where 80% of their revenues comes from 20% of customers. If you have customer concentration, it could be very difficult because you could lose a client. Losing one or two clients could practically put you out of business. You know, I was once representing a marketing advertising company. They have 5 clients. That's it. They had huge overhead because their clients were casinos. So they had 5 of the biggest casinos. The problem, we were selling them for about $10, $15 million. The problem is that they lost 2 clients during the process and dropped 50% of the revenue. I have another client whose business was in oil manufacturing. They had a couple of patents and they had customer concentration. They had 65% of the revenue tied up in the BP contract. They had over $2 million in EBITDA. I had 550 buyers, 12 LOIs, letter of intent. I was able to find a buyer, a strategic buyer, who had a similar product and services that had been trying to get in BP for years and could never get in. All the other buyers were afraid of customer concentration. This buyer says, I'm not afraid at all, because this buyer knew if they could get their products and services into BP, not only will they make money off this current asset, but they're going to catapult their existing business to the next level. So that's how we really create value. The last P is profit. And always put profits last, is because profits is never the problem, Dory. It's always a symptom of not having one of the other 5 P's. Clients come to me and say, Michelle, I have a profit problem. I'm like, no, you have a people problem. Or no, you have a process problem. So when we can get a business running on all 6 P's and EBITDA over $1 million, we, based upon industry standards, based upon sales, based upon everything else, will come up with a value. We usually go to market without a price because we want the buyers to tell us what they're willing to pay for these assets. And then we create the bidding war. Plus, we can look at the buyers and say, you know what? You're already in manufacturing and distribution. And if you bought this company right here, because you have distribution all around the United States, you could cut their distribution cost, cut their overhead in half, and increase their EBITDA and double their EBITDA by day one of taking it over. That's valuations. Did I answer your question?
You absolutely did. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to say thank you to our sponsors, and we'll be back in just a moment here on Word of Mom Radio.
Have you been curious about CBD? Maybe you heard it helps relieve stress and balance your body, but you're not sure where to start? The most important thing when you're thinking about CBD is choosing a brand you trust and feel confident in. Altwell is a high quality and effective CBD line. It's a family business with four generations in the wellness industry, and they poured all their experience, knowledge, and passion into making modern wellness attainable. Altwell uses only the highest quality, ethically grown hemp, carefully selected from Colorado farms. They triple test every product, and with every purchase, you can access a lab report so you can see exactly what you're getting. If you're new to CBD, a great place to start is with topicals like Altwell's balms and lotions to help ease achy muscles and their serums to moisturize and brighten your skin. Altwell is offering Word of Mom listeners a special discount so you can try it for yourself. All you have to do is go to altwell.com and use code ALTWELLMOM at checkout for 25% off your first purchase. Exclusions apply.
She is brave. She is strong. She is you. Because you're that woman who's got a product or a service that you're looking to promote, or you're out there seeking to support other women in business. Mompreneur marketers are here to help women learn, network, and build the businesses of their dreams, because when you win, we win.
We all know a survivor. Some of our friends and family have made it through difficult times. Some of us don't make it. Losing a loved one to cancer, a car accident, or any other unfortunate event can be crippling and unavoidable. But one of the hardest subjects to talk about is suicide. Too often, our youth decide that leaving this place is easier than facing the struggle forced upon them every day. More than one in four children go through some form of bullying or another. Most of us survive with scars, but for some, the inner demons created cannot be recognized or treated in time to ensure they make it through. Bullying in every form is very much avoidable. It starts with me, and it starts with you. This is Kelly Carius from No Such Thing as a Bully, reminding you to do your part when you see bullying happen. If you don't know what that is, call 403-447-4404. Or go to nosuchthingasabully.com.
Don't let the name fool you, because stadiumbags.com has a line of clear bags that enable you to use your phone and your smart devices without removing them from your bag. Not only that, but the product is so good it'll stand up to the cleaning solvents that you need to use now to make sure that when you come home safely. So take a look at stadiumbags.com. You'll see why we're your clear choice, because safety, it's in the bag. And we're back here on Word of Mom Radio. I am loving this conversation that we are having with Michelle Seiler Tucker. I really am, because there is so much that people don't know. And you just rattle it off because this is second nature to you. And it's amazing to me. And I want to ask, this is your second book on selling businesses. So Exit Rich, what made you write this book?
That's a great question. The reason I wrote Exit Rich is because back in 2013, I wrote Sell Your Business for More Than It's Worth. And Sell Your Business for More Than It's Worth was more of a handbook on how to sell a business. But it wasn't a real step-by-step blueprint on how to fix a business, how to grow a business, and how to build a solid infrastructure on how to build a business that people actually want to buy. I also noticed that driving around, so, you know, meeting with all my clients all throughout the United States, I noticed that businesses were dropping like flies. Like drive in front of a strip center, one day a business is there and the next week it's gone. So I did the research when I wrote Sell Your Business in 2013 and learned that 95% of startups will go out of business, right? That's 1 to 5 years. Startups are at the greatest risk. But then when I wrote Exit Rich, and did the same research, and I did the research at the beginning, and it's got me even more motivated. I learned that the business landscape, Dory, has actually flip-flopped. Now it's only 30% of startups will go out of business. Only 30%. But listen to this. out of 27.6 million companies, those businesses that have been in business 10 years or longer, 70% of those companies will go out of business. 70. Now, you hear about the public companies all the time. Toys R Us, been in business for 75 years, goes out of business. Kmart, Steinmart, Pier 1. I love Pier 1. You know, Steinmart, we love Steinmart. Montgomery Ward, GNC is closing down 900 locations. Godiva, our favorite chocolate, closing down 1,500 stores. Now, these are big companies. What about the private businesses? The media doesn't talk to you about the private companies, about the private businesses on every street corner and in every town and every state across our great nation. You know, small business is the backbone of our economy, employing over half the U.S. workforce. If we lose small business, we lose jobs. If we lose jobs, we lose spending power. If we lose spending power, we lose more small business. It's a domino effect. And unfortunately, these baby boomers are being forced to sell for pennies on the dollar, close their business, or even worse, file bankruptcy. And when you file bankruptcy in America, you typically just don't lose your business assets. Okay? This is something you really need to pay attention to. You usually lose your personal assets too, because most business owners sign personal guarantees, and most business owners take out a mortgage against their house, against their personal property to support their business. Now you've pierced the corporate veil. Your protection is over. So that's why I wrote Exit Rich, to help save small business, to help guide business owners to planning your exit from the beginning, not when you think about it. Because by the time you think about selling because of the catastrophic event, a lot of times it's too late. You're not going to be able to maximize your value. And so that's why I really wrote Exit Rich, to give people a step-by-step blueprint on how to plan your exit, get in the right seller's mindset, know what your seller's sanity check is, build the infrastructure on the 6 P's, know how valuations are done, know the 5 different types of buyers, and how to negotiate and to get your business to the closing table.
How are you able to sell your business for more than it's worth?
So everything I just talked about, right? Everything I just talked about. First of all, when you look at tax returns, a lot of businesses aren't worth anything on paper, because a lot of business owners live out of their business. They run personal expenses through their company that are not necessary business expenses, plus non-reoccurring expenses. So we really have to go through the financials, peel back all the layers of the onion to find out what the true seller's discretionary earnings really are. And then we identify those synergies that we talked about. If a company has a great database, I can get you more. If you have contracts in place, I can get you more. If you're better branded, I can get you more. A lot of times buyers will pay for a certain talent, you know, certain management team. So if you're operating all 6 cylinders and your EBIT is over a million, remember, I go to market without a price. So that company that I told you about that bought the business and outbid everybody else because he wanted a BP contract, the business appraised for $9.8 million. He paid $15 million for 70% of the business, not 100%. That's 126% over the appraised value. So it's all about finding the right buyers. It's all about identifying the business's synergies. And it's all about knowing what you're doing.
So what is a business life cycle?
So business life cycle, I always say business life cycle. I have a whole PowerPoint presentation on this. But I always say a business life cycle is the same as a human cycle. Okay, a business gets born, it's an incubator. An idea gets born, it's an incubator. A baby gets born, we're in the incubator, right? So we go from the incubator stage. 90% of ideas never make it out of the incubator. So then we go from the incubator to what? A newborn. So a newborn child, you have children, right? Newborns take what? 24-hour supervision and a tremendous amount of money. So does the business. A newborn business takes a tremendous amount of 24-hour supervision and a tremendous amount of working capital. Otherwise, your newborn's not going to survive. And then it goes from newborn to toddler. Well, toddlers can sort of feed themselves, sort of, you know, walk around. But what we call it, the terrible twos, right? Toddlers are a mess. They get into everything. They still need 24-hour supervision, and they still need a lot of money. So your toddler business still needs 24-hour supervision. Then you go from toddler to teenagers. Now, they don't need 24-hour supervision, but they still need supervision. Teenagers think they know it all. Teenagers are rebellious, right? Same thing with a business. So a teenage business still needs money, still needs supervision. Then you go from teenage to young adult. Young adults are kind of getting it figured out. They don't need as much money. They don't need as much supervision. They got this for the most part. Same thing with the business. Then you go to adult stage. Adult is when you're in your prime. Toys R Us started in 1950 something. 2000, and I'm trying to do this by memory. 2015, 2016, Toys R Us was in their adult stage. Your adult stage is your prime. That's the best you're ever going to be. You're never going to get better than that. That's when you should sell your business. Toys R Us was worth $11.5 billion. After adult, you go to senior citizen. Within 1 year, Toys R Us lost $11.5 billion and filed bankruptcy in 1 year. After senior citizen, you go to death. 2 years later, Toys R Us closes all their stores worldwide. 2 years after being an adult. It's that quick in business. Thank God it's not always that quick in human life. And then after death, for businesses, you have what we call rebirth. So Toys R Us is trying to rebrand. They've opened up 4 more locations. They've done some things different, but they didn't do things different enough. The number one reason that businesses go out of business, the 70% of businesses that will go out of business after 10 years, is because business owners stop doing what I call AIM, A-I-M, always innovate and market. Always innovate and market. Toys R Us did nothing new. In 75 years, they did nothing different. And then when they open up the new stores, they open up boutique little locations, and they're getting away from the big, huge grocery store model, but they still didn't innovate enough. Consumers don't buy the same way that they've always done. So you can't do business the way you've always done it. And you can thank Amazon for that. Amazon has changed the way that consumers purchase products. And either you're growing or you're dying. There's no in between. So business owners have to pivot. They have to ask those questions. What business are we in? What do we do really well? What should we be in? Toys R Us didn't do that. That's why they closed all 4 stores. So that's the business life cycle.
You know, it's unbelievable the journey that you're taking us on. So who are the 5 different types of buyers?
So number one is first-time buyers. 90% of buyers are first-time buyers. First-time buyers are those buyers that want to leave corporate America, like I did. And they typically buy small businesses under $1 million, you know, and they are very slow to pull the trigger. They need a lot of reassurances. Most of them will never pull the trigger. The second type of buyers, turnaround specialists. They buy distressed assets. They use the assets of the business to leverage the buyout so they can purchase a business with little to no money down. They fix the business and they sell it for profit. The third type of buyers, private equity groups, PEGs. We have about 28,000 buyers we work with in our database. We have a lot of buyers. Private equity groups buy 2 ways, by platform add-on. Platform is, let's say they want to get into food manufacturing. They will not even consider a food manufacturing company for less than $3 million in EBITDA. Some have to be $5 million in EBITDA. But then, let's say they have that food manufacturing company and they're trying to do add-ons. So they find a small frozen food company that they want to do an add-on and the EBITDA is $500,000. They'll buy that company because it's an add-on. So they buy based on platforms and add-ons. And then you have strategics/competitors. Strategics and competitors buy synergies. They're the ones who are going to buy the contracts. They're the ones who are going to buy celebrity endorsements, you know, the e-commerce placements. They're going to buy, you know, the contract, et cetera, because they're looking for those synergies that will catapult their business to the next level. A lot of companies like to roll up smaller businesses so that they can do an IPO or they can have a much bigger exit. And then you have your serial entrepreneurs, and serial entrepreneurs are industry agnostic. They chase cash flow. Those are the 5 types.
Amazing. It really is. And I love how you have been able to crystallize it all. Because again, you know, so many small business owners, women start with why. They see something out there that's not being done. They see a void and they want to create something to fix it. But I joke all the time. I'm not a businesswoman. I play one on TV. You know, I was just a mom wanting to make a difference and in everything that I've done. So what I love about our show, I learned so much from the women who come and share their journey with us. And I really appreciate you being here with us today. As we're wrapping up, Michelle, what do you want to leave our listeners with?
Well, I want your listeners to know I'm a mom too, so I get it. I have a 10-year-old daughter who's more complicated than any transaction I've ever done. And we're just getting started because we're not in the teenage years yet. Anyway, I guess what I'd like to leave your listeners with is, look, you know, being a woman entrepreneur is tough. It's not easy. You really do need to know that why. And I talk about the why in my book. You know, every good plan has to have a better why behind it, because if you don't have a great why to keep you motivated, to keep you in the game, to keep you to weather the financial storms and the catastrophic events that come our way, then you'll never accomplish it. So your why is so important. I always encourage everyone to do some soul searching and really determine what that why is, so that you can be the best that you want to be, so that you can, you know, create the business that you want to create. And, you know, a lot of women struggle with, oh my gosh, they struggle with, you know, I'm trying to be the best business person, but now I'm trying to be the best mother and be the best wife and be the best this and be the best that. I'm here to tell you can't do it all. I'm here to tell you there is no such thing as balance. However, there is a such thing called energy management. And energy management is what I encourage all of your listeners, all of your moms, all women, to keep a diary for a month. Write down everything that you do from the minute you get up. Like, I get up at 4:45 a.m. every morning and work out. Write down what you do every morning, every day, and then lump it into categories. Even from brushing your teeth, those A categories are things only you can do. Like, only you can brush your teeth. It's kind of gross if somebody else brushes your teeth, right? So those A categories are your core competencies. You know, other people can clean your house. Other people can grocery shop. Other people can run your errands. Those A categories are only things that you can do. Like, maybe only I can do my podcast. Maybe only I can do the big negotiations on our large multi-million-dollar companies. But there's also those B categories. So A is only you. Those are the things you're the best at. The B categories are things that you're really, really, really good at, but you can delegate. I'm great at valuations, but I delegate that to my team of analysts. I'm great at writing, but I don't write my prospectuses. I delegate that to my team of analysts, because we can't do everything. We can't do it all. And this is called energy management. When you try to do everything, it saps the energy out of you and you have nothing left to give anybody, including yourself. So those C categories are those things you should never do. You should never do. You know, if you're trying to be mom, wife, run your household, run your business, you don't necessarily have to go to the grocery store. Now life is so much easier because you can order your groceries and have it delivered that day. You don't even have to go to the grocery store anymore. The grocery store is a huge time waster, you know. But find out what those are that sap your energy and hire that out. And you might say, well, Michelle, I can't afford to hire that out. Well, I'm here to tell you can't afford not to. If you don't have an assistant, you are the assistant. And here's the bottom line. Figure out what your worth is. If your worth is $25 an hour and you can pay somebody $10 an hour to do some of these things, then do that so you can make the $25 an hour. And guess what? The more you do it, the more you can raise your fees and the more you can make in the long run. So I'd like to leave everybody with that and then tell everybody where they can get Exit Rich book.
Please do. Please let us know where we can find you online.
So Exit Rich, I'd like to tell you about another incredible woman. Sharon Lecter is my co-author. She is also a mom and a grandma. And she wrote Rich Dad Poor Dad with Robert Kiyosaki, which is a very well-known book. She's been a New York Times bestselling author 5 times. And she's also written several books in the Napoleon Hill Foundation. She's a CPA, a financial literacy expert, and the advisor to many presidents, including Obama. She writes A Mentor's Corner after every one of my chapters. So everybody can go. And the book was endorsed by Steve Forbes, Kevin Harrington, original shark on Shark Tank, wrote the foreword. Everyone can go get Exit Rich at exitrichbook.com. You can buy it on Amazon, but we're in the middle of pre-sales. The book hasn't launched yet. We're in the middle of pre-sales. If you buy it at Amazon, you have to wait to read it. If you go buy it at exitrichbook.com, it's less expensive, $24.79. We will email you the digital download immediately. Then we will also send a hardcover to your doorstep upon launch date. Plus, we will give you a lifetime membership into Exit Rich Book Club. Exit Rich Book Club has me doing video content of all these different strategies and techniques, plus documents. You need documents to run your business. You need documents to sell your business. Owners come to me all the time and say, Michelle, I've never seen an employee handbook or policy and procedure manual or a non-compete. Or sellers will say, well, I've never seen a sample letter of intent. What does a purchase agreement look like? What do closing docs look like? What's a due diligence checklist look like? All of these documents that are worth over $25,000 if you want your attorney to create are there not only for your review, but your download. All of those documents to run or sell your business are at Exit Rich Book Club, once you buy Exit Rich. Plus, we give you a 30-day membership into Club CEOs, which is a like-minded entrepreneur program that I started. It's Mastermind, where we do ask those transformational questions to help business owners really survive and thrive so they too can exit rich when they're ready.
Michelle, I thank you so much for taking the time to share with us today. We have an extra long show, which is great, because there was just way too much information that you are sharing for me to try to squeeze it into the 30 minutes. So
Thank you.
Glad. It's just too valuable to try to cut you short. And again, I thank you so much for being here. I encourage all of you, reach out. All of the links will be live on our Blog Talk Radio show page. So all of the links to Michelle will be live and you can reach out. Please do.
Yeah, if I can tell them one more thing, they can
sure.
text me. They can text Michelle, text the word Michelle or Exit Rich, whichever you prefer, to 888-526-5750, 888-526-5750. When you do that, all of my social media pops up. I encourage you to follow me, plus all my websites will pop up.
Fabulous. I, again, encourage you all, reach out. It's what this is all about. So, Michelle, thank you so much for all of you tuning in. Thanks for being with us here on the Business Spotlight on Word of Mom Radio. We are going to close out with our fabulous theme song from Smith Sisters Bluegrass. So till next time, this is Dori DiCarlo saying go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.